no matter where you sit within the hierarchy on any company, everybody's going to come together. That's how you get velocity. That's how the company moves every day. I may be leading a segment of our company, but I need to always be listening to the iron workers that are putting things into place, the guys from the shop, people that are supervising in the field, our engineers. And you try to merge all that data to try to find out, okay, here's the different iterations of what success or a solution may be like. Try to get a consensus out of everybody of what's the best outcome, as opposed to just standing up on a box and giving a directive.
This is Facility Rockstars, the podcast that celebrates the unsung heroes of our daily lives, facility professionals. I'm your host, Jay Culbert. Join me as we honor these great leaders, sharing stories, insights, and expertise that empower us all to learn and grow together. Facility Rockstars is sponsored by Colutus, operating the way you operate in order to make your life easier.
Welcome back to Facility Rockstars. I'm your host, Jay Culbert. And today, I'm very excited to introduce our guest. We could talk for hours. We won't, I promise you. He's a seasoned pro in project management and business development. He's always focused on solving problems for his clients and his partners. He brings expertise in general contracting, real estate development, metal building systems, foundations, slab expertise, and much, much more. Most of all, he's a master of creating introductions and bringing people together. He's currently the Director of Business Development and Projects at Space Buildings Corporation. Doug Stokin, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon.
Glad you're here, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I really like, you know, I called you a master because that's the way I see you, Doug. You know, we're going to get into that, right? I want to talk more about that because you just have a natural knack for bringing people together.
Sure.
Just before we do that, what's been your biggest lesson learned as a business leader and a business manager over the years?
I think certainly every time you think you've got it solved, you think you know it, or you know close to everything, you haven't. And you always have something left to learn or a nuance of that facet. And always have to be open, always have to be learning.
Sounds like you have pretty good awareness around that.
Yes, a lot of years. Yep.
So that sounds like, you know, you've got it's a good mindset. Obviously, we've never arrived, right? So we're always learning. How did you instill that in yourself? How did you make that part of your framework?
I think that you do enough projects, you work with enough people, you understand that there's always a different scenario that's going to play out. So, being adaptable, being flexible, being willing to learn, that'll bring you around the corner where ideally you're going to deliver the best project at the best quality on the best time to exceed our client care that we want to extend to our people or our clients. You know, that's what we always want to make sure we're doing.
So how do you make that happen on a regular basis? Because that's outstanding. That's a great goal for the clients. Like, how does that actually occur?
When we, relegate responsibility within the company as to who needs to do what at what time, that tie off with the your other counterparts in the company, we're able to go ahead and understand who's responsible for what. And, you know, we all do our job. It's like the New England Patriots like to say years past. And we grind on it every day. We hustle on it every day. We make it happen.
You used the word adaptable. I'm very fond of that word. I also like the word pivot, but, essentially the same thing. So when that occurs, what do you do? How do you adapt?
Yeah, I think that listening is a key part, right? So, no matter where you sit within the hierarchy on any company, everybody's got to come together. That's how you get velocity. That's how the company moves every day. So, you know, I may be leading a segment of our company, but I need to always be listening to the iron workers or the steel erectors that are putting things into place, the guys from the shop, people that are supervising in the field, our engineers and estimators, and on and on. You listen to what everyone has to say, you know, about what's at hand, and you try to merge all that data to try to find out, okay, here's the different iterations of what success or a solution may be like, and, you know, try to get a consensus out of everybody of, you know, like, what's the best outcome going to be, as opposed to just standing up on a box and giving a directive. You know, sometimes, most times, that doesn't really work out that well.
No, so, I've seen the same. Yeah. So yeah. It sounds like everyone in the company has a voice, and they've all got part of, they all have input in building the plan. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I want to keep going on this for a second, Doug, because it's, so what if things don't go right? And I'm speaking about things that are outside of your plan, outside of your control, right? Something your client does, or some external force that caused things to change. And then, you know, there's that adaptability thing, right?
Yeah. So we're always going to help find a solution, whether we're the direct, person or company executing across that or not. So we're always assuming responsibility, you know, what if it rests squarely within us, or, you know, we're just a segment of that, you know, we're always, you know, open and honest as to where we stand with that matter. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if, like, let's say your solution isn't going to be 100%. So let's look at what else is available. And certainly, if it's not something we're going to self-perform in a solution, whether it be like a fab issue, an engineering issue, building it in the field through our steel erectors, you know, we can always find a solution if that's what we have to input. If it's something from outside of our company, we will always find a solution for that. And it's really a matter of being flexible.
Good words.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So metal buildings, how did all this happen? Why metal buildings? Why not wood? Why not block wall? You know, how did it all occur? How did this all start?
Yeah. So way back when the oil boom started, a lot of the rigs down in Texas, they had to sheet in some of the mechanical parts to shield them from, you know, the water and the sun and all that, to try to get better longevity, better service out of them. And then from there, it just extrapolated across that. You know, it was a simple way to put some steel frame together and some sheets, as we call them, on the roof and the walls. And, you know, you started out with a garage or a warehouse. And as the engineer moved on it, as time went on and got into the 70s, to, you know, really turn into a real product. So it got tagged with pre-engineered metal building systems. So the parts, they are pre-engineered by engineer and staff. All the parts work together to accept and then distribute load through the building down into the foundation. And it really took off after that. And so, you know, the industry itself is now something that you can look at a pre-engineered metal building product, you know, in the field, in an office part. And, you know, when done with the correct architectural partner, you'd never know the difference between a, you know, conventional structural steel, you know, like a three-story office building versus what, you know, we can provide. That's how far the technology's come, the product has come.
That's impressive.
Yep.
Are there any particular types of industries or customer types or consumer types, end users that are drawn more towards it than others?
I think it's certainly industrial and institutional. Like, those are really core segments of who, you know, we've always served for our clients. So you've got distribution centers, or, you know, For instance, if you're a company that does plumbing supplies or electric supplies, right, you're going to have a or multiple warehouses for warehousing and then distribution. You need to, you know, place all the product somewhere. A lot of successful, you know, heavy civil contractors, you know, the guys that, you know, build out a site, do site work, they've got some pretty large facilities where they have to put their equipment in. You know, that's another big sector that we serve. And then in more recent times, like as you travel through COVID and everybody learned real quickly about like what a supply chain is and how medical, you know, devices or components to assemble a final product, you know, all that has to be stored somewhere prior to assembly. And then even post assembly, it has to be placed somewhere. We do a lot of work for climate controlled storage for a lot of stuff that's come off the production line and it has to sit somewhere until it ships out to the client.
Fantastic.
Yep.
I'm sitting in a metal building myself right now. I don't know if it's a space building. It is a metal building. I should know that answer, shouldn't I, Doug?
We can't build them all, so it's all right. Yep.
That's great. We can get back to more of the business. I'd love to focus quite a bit if we can and if you'd like to on your ability, your intentionality, your effort, your passion around bringing people together, around making introductions to people, right? Yeah. You've done it with me. I've seen you do it with others. Where does that come from? Where did you learn that? How does that seemingly come so effortlessly to you?
When I was, you know, a lot younger, I'm 45 now. When I was in my, the end of my teens, you know, 21, you know, just starting out in my 20s, I started to work for space buildings. My great uncle started the company back in 1967. And in that time period, you know, I primarily worked and reported to my uncle, but he had me do all different jobs around the company to learn. And one of the things I always saw him doing when I was in his office and he's on calls or conducting a meeting and I'm like a fly on the wall, or when I would go to lunch with him or I'd be somewhere else at a fundraiser with him, he had a great ability to listen and he'd see opportunity with people. So someone would be discussing something they need to create for a building or a solution they have to create for their company, whether it be like legal or, he knew if like they could be plugged into this one guy or this one company, it would solve their problem. And so I always saw that going on. And he had a lot of success because he would help these people, even if like space wasn't signing a contract off the deal, he was helping to solve one of our client or potential client's problems. And what would occur is that client would come back, they'd be a client for life. Or, he'd help someone, whether it was a client or a potential client or whatever. And they'd have this help from us on a matter. It could have been outside of a contract we held. And then they just, they're having cocktails separately with somebody else one night or at in another board meeting or something. And there's a topic that comes up like, well, we need like 40,000 square feet for our warehousing operations, blah, blah, blah. He said, call Bob DeCroce. He'll help you. And we would get, it's like, there's all sorts of stuff now with like social media. They talk about like the golden rule and like, karma and all this kind of stuff. Like if you're going to do the right thing, it's going to come back on you. There's different verses in the Bible to talk about that. And, that's basically what he did. He always did right by other people. He treated others how he wanted to be treated. And that's, we got a lot of work and we still get a lot of work routed back into us because we still employ those same principles. Like one of the reasons I like to do it, because I enjoy doing that. Like when you're able to help somebody, nothing feels better when you're able to, you hear back and they're like, hey, we were able to fix this. And, thank you for introducing me to that person or that company or the advice you gave me helped us solve the problem and move on to the next step. It feels great because you're you're impacting somebody's life and their business in a huge, huge way. Some ways in a small way, but you know, it's great when you get a big one out of it because you're really moving the needle for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can tell that you enjoy it. I've seen you enjoy it when we speak with each other about these things.
Yeah.
And you're right. It does feel good. It feels good to help other people. And I love that. So thanks for walking us through that because you learned from, you said your uncle, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And that was, what, 21 years old? So you've been witnessing this for a while and it's clearly working. So.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I've heard you talk about associations and other things you belong to and things you do. I mean, feel free if you want to. I think it's all kind of related, right, Doug?
Yeah.
I want to speak about that.
I mean, there's like this a lot of industry stuff. I'm, you know, any professional, they're always into a handful of things with their industry. So one of the ones that we've joined on to, it's the Metal Building and Contractors and Erector Association. So it's like, it could be a direct or indirect competitor. We get along with, you know, both in our industry. And it's, you know, it's good because you can listen to other people's perspective or solutions and just get a different framework around, you know, how other companies are approaching stuff. There's like a brotherhood about it in a sense, right? So we're a member of a couple things, you know, close to that, you know, separate of that. I'm also a member of the Ancient and Honorable Artillery Company. It's the second oldest chartered military organization in the Western Hemisphere. And the headquarters is Faneuil Hall in Boston. It's a split between, you know, like half active or half retired military people. Usually a lot of leadership level guys are in there. And then the other side, it's, you know, really patriotic minded, business owners or executives. So, like Mahoney's Garden Centers, like that's a name that most would, understand, like, you know, they're a member. Sure. There's other really high level people from the federal government and the state government, that are members. I'm not sure exactly how many people I'm supposed to mention that are in that want the notoriety, but there's a lot of heavy hitters from both business and military that are in there. And, so it's been great in that you can meet a lot of people you'd never meet before normally. And, it helps with that, you know, like networking we were just talking about, that really facilitates opportunity and just like brand awareness, at a basic local level. And so the Ancients have absolutely been a big part to help provide that space.
That's fantastic. How long have you been a member?
Going on 8 years now.
Good for you. Good for you, Doug.
Yep.
You mentioned something about your uncle. He had the ability to listen, right?
Yep.
And I just want to comment quickly because I think that's so foundational because if you don't have a strong ability to listen to someone else, how could you possibly have empathy for what their needs are, right? Or really understand where they're going with something or what, you know, what their desires are, really understand where they're at. So I love that.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, you also operate some metal buildings. Is that accurate? Do you own and operate some and also erect them? Yes?
Yeah, correct. So like a holding company piece. And then the other side is like engineering and construction piece. So we're delivering product for clients. Yeah.
So on that piece then, you know, a lot of our audience members are in the facilities groups. They're in facilities teams. They run facilities for companies. Could you speak at all about what's that experience for you? Are you a piece of that? You know, how is that? How does that operate for your company? What are the challenges around that? Running a building, operating a facility?
You know, there's definitely a lot to pay attention to. I mean, certainly in the past 10 years, like at least as I've seen it, it is a lot of focus towards risk and how can we absolutely minimize and protect, you know, on that axis, right? So you know, you've got your insurance piece, your insurance audits that are going on. You know, what is your safety program? What is your maintenance program? You know, to try to get the, you know, highest quality out of what you're putting out there. But then second, you know, how is, you know, in your role to take care of the place, you know, what are we doing to minimize risk?
Now, when you say minimize risk, and mostly safety related, you said insurance as well.
Yeah, like primarily. So, you know, it's anything you can imagine being litigated on or sued for. So slip and fall or any sort of accidents, security measures, even in terms of like if there was to be theft, right? So you're thinking of security cameras, lighting, you know, fencing, things of that nature that are going to go ahead and create the safest environment possible for whomever is, you know, coming in there. It's an employee, a client, et cetera.
Now, do you, got it. Thank you. Do you yep. have facility or property managers at each site who do this? Is this central corporate? How do you stay ahead of it?
It's all centralized here at, you know, our home office. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you call out, and forgive me if I missed it, but any best practices or recurring activities that have to happen to stay ahead of these types of things?
You know, we have an annual review process of everything that we're doing. So when we are looking at our processes in terms of like a maintenance schedule, we review that, you know, on a yearly basis. And then what needs to be implemented, you know, gone over on a monthly deal with whomever is in charge, you know, they're on top of that. The drivers for us are primarily in terms of safety within the shop environment, what that means to fabrication and all the manufacturers' regulations we have to, you know, be around. And then OSHA is the other big force, even when you're not, you know, if you're not on a construction site, it's still obviously OSHA comes into the workplace or, you know, any other property piece of it. So we have a lot of focus to that.
Perfect. Perfect. We had talked, I don't know, maybe a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago. And I remember you had mentioned something like, I think I asked you what advice you'd give someone. And so let's do it here, right? I'd like to ask you that here. What advice would you give, you know, other professionals in your role, people in your role? Like, what would you say?
I would definitely say is taking on something that you might not typically do, so long as it, you know, meets what the company's vision and purposes. So, you know, take on the hard tasks and do them because that's going to help you grow and evolve. So I think like when we talked last on this, like I gave an example in that Space has a client of ours who's a very large specialty fabricator and erector of conventional steel. And they had a contract with Moderna Pharmaceuticals in which they needed a pre-engineered building built on the roof of another building. It was very sensitive in terms of the quality aspect, time, how we put the work into place. When I first, you know, looked at the opportunity across my desk, I'm like, you know, like, I don't even know if we really want to go for this. And so I gave it like a day. I talked to one of my mentors about it and he's like, you know, if you don't take a challenge to go for it and, you know, and really apply, you know, what you and your company can do, you're never going to grow and evolve. And so I'm like, I went through it again and we made it happen. We did it. We executed on it. We had a successful job. And so, you know, personally, I grew a lot in a lot of different ways from that. And so did our company. So everybody that touched that job, they all grew. They got some new skill sets. They had a new appreciation of how to execute that side of fab or construction in the field or even managing it. So it was a good experience.
That's got to be exciting, too.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of good things that came out of it. So It was, you know, best of all, it was great in that our direct client, you know, they came to us with a need, you know, they needed help. It's like you go to a doctor, right? You're counting on them to like, for the doc to get you well, right? To see you through. And so when we were able to provide the solution to them in pre-construction and through construction, and, you know, we hit on all cylinders for what they were counting on us to do, and they gave us the big thumbs up, that was great, because we were like, wow, like these guys are absolutely what they were looking for. We went above and beyond. And, you know, that's always what we're trying to do at Space, is like give that absolute highest level of client care.
That's awesome. What a great outcome. That's got to feel good, Doug.
Yeah, it was a good ride.
And you did say a building on top of a building.
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was one of the reasons I was like, I don't know if I want to dip my toe into this pool, but we made it work. We're
awesome.
Fortunate we got so many guys at Space that a lot of experience, and that was a big reason why we were able to be successful.
Sure. You mentioned, you didn't say mentor, you said mentors, one of your mentors. I'm curious, is that something we can talk about? You know, how did you find these mentors? Who are they? How do you learn from them?
Yeah. Well, some of them are from the ancients. Some of them are from just years of doing this. You know, you'll meet leaders at vendors you work with, and they grow and they come to be, you know, leaders in the C-suite, as some will call it. And so, as you can imagine, like if you've had a bunch of years of doing it and you're now a leader, an owner, an executive, that experience is one of the greatest teachers, right? So you're able to provide what it is you're trying to deliberate, and you take the advice of each of these mentors, and then you aggregate that response and filter through it, sort of like what they're trying to do with all this AI nowadays that everybody chats about the stock market. But like that, you know, that right there, it allows you to have greater, it's like a catalyst to an idea. It's like a singular idea, or like a 1+1 idea, but then you can like 10x it or 50x it, you know, when you add the fact that if you can reach these mentors, you aggregate it, and then you figure out, well, what's my best outcome of it? And I found that really important. Even outside of that, like one example I gave you, there's different things that I've done, you know, just internally at Space, and or just, you know, trying to solve issues behind the scenes for clients. And that's where I've had a lot of success, is doing stuff like that.
That's fantastic. It's just collaboration at its best. It's exponential, like 10x, 50x, like you said, all of that. Like you're learning from someone who's already done it. And you can apply it to your specific situation or several situations.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're humble enough to know that, you know, make that phone call, learn from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody is. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You don't get extra credit for coming up with the idea. It's just how well you implement it.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
We've been learning a lot from you, Doug. If there's anything else on the business side, please, like, hey, let's chat, let's talk about it. Or, you know, I bet the audience and myself would like to learn a little more about you.
Yeah. I grew up in Burlington, Massachusetts, went to Merrimack College, where I studied business, with a concentration in entrepreneurship. Always had a fascination with business. I did extremely well in all my business classes. Had a good aptitude for law. And, you know, coming out of college, I was thinking I might, you know, get into advertising. So I had an internship at a big ad agency who was now, you know, since gobbled up by a conglomerate called Interpublic. And then like law, I interned, for that piece of it. But leaving school in 2001 out of Merrimack College, there wasn't a lot happening. I think it was where the bubble burst out of the dot-com bubble. I think that's what it was. And so there wasn't a lot of awesome opportunities available. So I reached out to my Uncle Bob. He gave me a job opportunity. I took it, and the rest is history. So, you know, I moved to Chelmsford, Mass for like 10 years. Just recently moved down to Mansfield, Massachusetts about 2 years ago, be closer to our company's headquarters as we continue to grow. And, you know, the more responsibility you get, you've got to have more time, the office, stuff like
that. How was that move? If I could, Doug, how was that move for you and your family?
I was overall good. You know, just for me, it was definitely a lot of change. I'm starting to get used to it now. If you grow up somewhere your whole life, you know, it's a little bit different. I've never been awesome with a change, I guess, in my personal life, right? I'll find something that's good. I just want to stick with it, like restaurants, my wife, I found the right seat on the bus. I'm sticking with it, you know? So, but I'm coming around to the new place. It's a nice town.
Good for you.
Yeah,
I love what you just said, because the whole first half of the show, you talked about adaptability and ability to change. And, you know, personally, I don't want to do that. You know, I'll get used to it. I like this. Steakhouse is a good one.
You get jostled around a lot in your professional world. You know, it's nice to be able to you can just tap back into like the same thing, when you can take your armor off at the end of the day, So.
Right.
It's nice to be able to have the same thing. But I mean, aside from that, like my family and I, we love to travel. So we're skiers, we're swimmers. So we like to go down to Florida, Caribbean, and then we all ski in the winter. And then we're big family people, right? So we have family in Florida nowadays. We've got family up on, the North Shore of Massachusetts. So we're always traveling for definitely like the holidays and even in the summertime, just be up by the beach on the North Shore, visiting family there. So it's basically what we're into.
Awesome. Which beach do you like?
Good Harbor in Gloucester.
Very nice.
Great beach.
Very nice.
Yeah. What about yourself? Do you hit the beach a lot?
We don't. We boat quite a bit. So we're on the water a lot on the boat. But when we go to the beach, my wife and my kids like Cranes Beach.
Okay.
That's our choice. So,
yeah,
we love it there, especially low tide. You get the pools that hang out, back on the beach. It's fun. Yeah. I can play football.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good spot.
Do you ski the East? You out West?
I've never been out West, but I go to a lot of places in the East. Stratton and Killington are two of my favorites in Vermont. And then recently I was just at Okemo for the first time. Back in February. I thought that was a nice mountain. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, I can't thank you enough for sharing, the wisdom, the associations. A lot of people maybe never heard of the ancients before. That's awesome. If people want to get in touch with you, how should they do so? Is it LinkedIn? Is it your company website? What would you recommend if they had more questions or wanted to learn more from you?
Yeah, you can LinkedIn. I've got a profile there. So if you're comfortable with that, you're welcome to reach through our website, obviously. You can call me direct. I take all calls. if it's a telemarketer type, I try to sell them a building. And usually that ends the call pretty quick.
Good practice for you.
If you want to do it in your notes or however it is you distribute the information, you're welcome to, share my mobile number or my email address. That way, if somebody has a question or they need help with something like we chatted about, I'd be honestly, happy to help them. That's one of the best things of this job. You do it so many years, you meet so many people. I've got a huge network and, it's real easy to be able to, connect people to solve an issue. If you know that many people, it's just a phone call. So be happy to help.
Well, and you've shown that so many times over and over. So yeah, again, I'll emphasize you're a master of bringing people together. And like you said, you have a huge network. So, you know, thank you for what you've done for me personally and us. And yeah, thanks for taking the time today. And if for the audience, if you learned something from Doug, if you laughed, if you had a good time, feel free to share it with others. And until next time, thank you, Doug.
All right. Thank you.
It's a wrap. Another episode of Facility Rockstars is in the books. Facility Rockstars is sponsored by Colutus, operating the way you operate in order to make your life easier. Until next time, facilitate and rock on. Rock on.